This is a Squiz podcast. We're your shortcut to being informed.
Hi, it's Claire Kimball here, founder of The Squiz. One of the things that you've told us time and time again is that you appreciate how we do the news, but also appreciate the fun and the quirky bits and pieces too. So I wanted to let you know that we have a weekly newsletter called The Saturday Squiz. It's the week in news, but it also has recommendations of great recipes, books, TV shows, podcasts, and so much more. So grab your phone, go on, and head to thesquiz.com.au to sign up. We're the shortcut to the news and so much more. That link is also in your episode notes.
Good morning, I'm Alice Dempster.
And I'm Siobhan Moran McFarlane.
It's Friday the 22nd of March. In your Squiz today, Tassie heads to the polls, an Assange deal is floated, Australia's population hits new heights, and a film for the car buffs. This is your Squiz today. We mentioned yesterday, Siobhan, that Tasmania is holding a state election tomorrow. They'll be voting on 35 people to represent them in the lower house of the state parliament.
And Alice, there are a couple of things to note. Firstly, that's 10 more representatives than Tasmania have had before. And the Liberal-led government is the last one standing on the Aussie political scene. So if it's defeated tomorrow, it will be wall-to-wall Labor from the federal to the state and territory governments. The other thing is that the election's happening super early in Tassie's electoral cycle because it wasn't actually due to happen until next year.
Yeah, that's right. So it was called early because of an issue that's really at the heart of it. There's a huge political row over the state's plan to build a $715 million stadium for their new AFL team, the Tasmanian Devils.
So what happened is that two members of the Liberal Party defected and became independents in May last year over the stadium issue, leaving Premier Jeremy Rockliffe with a minority government. That was okay for a while because they agreed to support him on day-to-day business, but it became an issue this year when they started wavering in their support for the government on a couple of key votes in Parliament. That's when Rockliffe pulled the pin and said that their my way or the highway approach has frankly made it too difficult to govern. Now, those politicians are Lara Alexander and John Tucker, and they reckon the stadium money would be better spent on healthcare and housing, which are big issues for Tasmanians. And now Rockliffe's under pressure to secure the 18 seats he needs to reach a majority. On the other side, however, is Labor and their leader, Rebecca White.
Yeah, she's all for Tassie's new AFL team, but she's anti-stadium, and she says if she wins, she'll renegotiate with the AFL. But that could be tricky. AFL boss Andrew Dillon says the agreement is that the stadium will be built, and that cannot change. As for which party is tipped to win, the polls put the Liberals ahead of Labor, but there is a strong chance that neither major party will win the majority. So all of that to say, Siobhan, it's a notable state election for Tasmania, which you and Alex get into in a bit more detail in the latest Squiz Shortcut episode. So if you want to learn a little bit more about it, you can find that in your Squiz Today feed just after this podcast. Aussie WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange's lawyers spoke out yesterday after US reports came out that he could be offered a potential plea deal. But his lawyers, Siobhan, say that they've received no official offer from US prosecutors.
Yeah, so as you say, Alice, it all kicked off with US media reports from an insider who said that the US Justice Department was considering allowing Assange to plead guilty to mishandling classified information. Now, that's a misdemeanor rather than the more serious criminal espionage and hacking charges that he's currently facing. Now, those charges are over his publishing of classified US military files about the Iraq and Afghanistan wars back in 2010 and 2011.
And the big thing to note is that if those charges are downgraded, Assange could potentially walk free. But if they're not, he's facing extradition to the US from London, which is something he's fighting in the UK's High Court. And if he is extradited, he could be sentenced to up to 175 years in a US jail. The Bureau of Stats dropped a couple of batches of data yesterday, and even if you're not big into numbers, these ones are pretty important to know about, I'd say, Siobhan.
Yeah, so I don't want to overdo it with the maths here, Alice, but the first batch was interesting because it's to do with Australia's population growth. That's ticked up to nearly 27 million people in this September 23 quarter. And to put that into context, it's a record increase of about 2.5%, which equates to about 660,000 new people in the 12 months to September. Reports say that some of that comes down to a natural population lift, but the vast majority, about 550,000, were overseas migrants moving to Oz. The Bureau says the majority of those new arrivals are on temporary visas for work or study.
Which is a nice segue. The latest employment data for February was also released yesterday, and many reports described it as a bit of a shock. That's because 116,500 new jobs were added in Australia last month, which caused the unemployment rate to fall from 4.1% to 3.7%. And that has really added to speculation that the Reserve Bank will continue to hold off on cutting interest rates anytime soon. This week, our podcast is brought to you by Aware Super. Regardless of whether retirement is 2 or 20 years away, Aware Super can help you get a plan in place to live your best retirement. Visit aware.com.au to find out more. Siobhan, Matildas fans were a bit downbeat yesterday after finding out that we've got a pretty tough draw for the group stage of the Olympic Games in Paris.
Yeah, so the Matildas are going to have to face FIFA's fourth and fifth ranked teams, that's the US and Germany, in that group stage of the Games matches in July. And depending on which team wins in an African playoff next month, either Zambia or Morocco will round out Group B. So it could be a bit of a tall order for the Matildas, Alice.
Yeah, it could be. And there was a little bit of lighter soccer news yesterday. Photos of a statue of UK star player Harry Kane, which sat dormant for 5 years, have been released. And Siobhan, people aren't quite sure what to make of it.
Oh my God, Alice, it's so bad. So for squisses who haven't seen it yet, think back to that dodgy bust of Cristiano Ronaldo that came out in 2017. I mean, who is seriously still commissioning these sculptures?
Yeah, I hadn't seen that Ronaldo bust until you mentioned it to me, Siobhan, but it really is something to be seen.
Yes.
So I'll pop a link to that in the episode notes if any squizzes want to take a look. It's been 3 years since Daniel Craig sipped his last martini, but there's a lot of confusion still about who will be the next person to step into the iconic James Bond Aston Martin.
Yeah, so there's been conflicting reports about whether Aaron Taylor-Johnson has been offered the role. On Monday, Britain's The Sun newspaper reported that the Marvel star had been given the gig, saying that Bond is Aaron's job should he wish to accept it. But then the 33-year-old distanced himself from that speculation, and others started reporting that the deal was off and considered other alternative spies.
Yeah, so they included Idris Elba, Reggae Jean Page, or even the UK TV chef James Martin, although, Siobhan, I'm pretty sure that one was a joke. You would hope that the real MI6 is a bit more organised about its recruitment.
You would, and I know that you're still holding a candle for Aaron Taylor-Johnson, if that's at all possible.
Yeah, my favourite. Friday night, Siobhan, what have you got for us today?
Well, Alice, we mentioned the Grand Prix in Melbourne yesterday, and that's happening all weekend, so it's got me all revved up for some fast content. And our Squiz teammate Larissa has recommended a film called Gran Turismo, which tells the story of a British teenager who plays Gran Turismo, the computer game, and then becomes a professional racing car driver. It's on Amazon Prime, and it stars Jerry Halliwell, aka Ginger Spice, which makes it a little bit meta, given the drama surrounding her husband at the F1 right now.
Yeah, the second Ginger Spice reference we've had this week. I'm loving it, Siobhan. I will pop a link to that in the episode notes today.
And just to quickly mention, Alice, that for the squizzes who love a recipe recommendation on a Friday, I haven't forgotten about you. Subscribe to our Squiz Today newsletter and you will always find one in there each week, even if we don't mention it in the pod.
And that's us done for today. We hope you have a great weekend and we'll be back with you on Monday.
Hi there, it's Bryce Corbett here from Squiz Kids. It's been a big couple of weeks for news, and one thing that's emerged is the increasingly concerning role that mis- and disinformation are playing in the wake of big news events. It's why there's never been a more important time for our kids to be taught to be critical consumers of media. It's also why we created NewsHounds, a fun 8-part podcast series with accompanying classroom workbook to teach primary school kids how to spot misinformation when they come across it online. It's already being used in over 2,000 classrooms around the country. To make sure the kids in your life are among them, get their teacher to head to squizkids.com.au and sign up for a free account. You're very welcome.